saying goes, don't judge a book by its cover. And it's true. Don't look at that person who ends up next to you and say, that person is way too different from me. I could not invite him to my church. I can't have my friends see me bringing this guy in. We need to see others as Christ sees them, with a holy compassion for the lost. You know what? We all need God, no matter what the person looks like, or how different they are from you. As Christians, we are responsible to reach out to those around us. Their eternity depends on it. We need to stop worrying about the opinions of others. We need to open our eyes. New opportunities are put in front of us every single day to come out of our comfort zone, open our mouths, and speak these simple words.
Hey man, if you're not doing anything this weekend, check this out. We're doing something cool at our church. So.
I love that video. I'm talking today on The Best Is On Its Way. We were in Planet Shakers, when we were on sabbatical, we did a whole week of Planet Shakers, and it was amazing. It's the most amazing conference I've ever been to. One of our values is our mission as a church is invite, impart, empower. You've just seen invite. We've had a small spiel on how to invite. Don't stop inviting. Don't stop praying. Don't stop inviting. Don't stop praying. At the start of this week, I was in Darfield at Mainly Music, and I had connected with a mum from Mainly Music who had been to Mainly Music for 4 or 5 years since she had her first child. She's now got three. And so it must be 4 years because the oldest one's 4, I think. And second one turned 3 while we were up there. Really cool to see her again after 12 months. She'd been moved away down to Timaru. That her and her friend both left and bawled their eyes out, and we've prayed for them as a team several occasions. Her friend actually was one of the girls who said to me, we had a conversation with the girls and we were talking about being with partners versus being married. And several of them said, why want to be married? But my husband says, my partner says, it's just a piece of paper. So in one of our family nights, I had Wayne talk about that piece of paper and how important it is for a girl. And did you know that your partners actually want to be married? And they went, no. One of them got married as a result of that conversation. This is this girl's friend. And they're still very firm friends. So anyway, she was at, this other girl is at Darfield, Mainly Music, and so we did the whole spiel about Darfield going to mornings this morning. She said to me at the end of the session, she says, I'm coming to Leeston Church. That's 4 years of evangelism, 4 years of not giving up, 4 years and one whole year just evangelizing on Facebook. How cool is that? She hasn't come today. I'm very disappointed. But I'll keep praying. You've got to keep on casting. And I was so excited, I contacted Joe Hood. And I said, evangelism is alive and well in Mainly Music because one of the criticisms is Mainly Music is, where's the fruit? Who's coming to Christ? So I told her who's coming to Christ. I said, one of our Mainly Music mums is now a Sunday school teacher. One of our Mainly Music mums is now a Connect group leader. One of our Mainly Music mums is, what does she do? I've gone blank, so I can only think of George and Sarah, but there's others. Fuck, Nikki. It's Nikki. So I told her, and she wants me to write a little testimonial for her, so I'm doing that. Okay. Today is about being empowered. When we come to church, we worship and we listen and we go home and we forget about it, eh? Do we? Hope not. You're supposed to all go, no, we don't do that. So anyway, Planet Shakers, amazing, 10,000 strong. And what they do there is they're very, very noisy. Like when they agree with something, everybody hollers, amen, and they get up out of their seat, they actually do this. And the preacher's preaching, and you get, amen, the whole set, the whole, like, 10,000 people are getting up and down, up and down, up and down, and during the entire congregation. It was really out of my comfort zone, but I joined in because when you respond, you get the impartation of what's being said. That's how you catch it. It's like, they were amazing speakers. So Planet Shakers is amazing because of the impartation. You can sit and you can listen and you can go home and try and work it out, but it's much better when you get that impartation in your spirit, because your spirit carries it. You're not trying to be good all the time. You want your spirit to catch it. So listen today and catch what I'm saying in your spirit. If you need to respond, you're welcome. You're welcome to shout. You're welcome to holler. You're welcome to silently go. I did all of those things in Planet Shakers. It was amazing. Sometimes we're very white and very quiet, aren't we? Come to church and we all be quiet. Oh, they spoke. We need to change that whole horrible rule. And we need to just, let's jazz it up. Don't you love watching the African Americans? Don't you love watching them? And how they're just so, oh, they're just in there. So, hey, man! Yes, I love that. I want to go to an American church, an African American, how do you say it? Black church? African American church? whatever. Anyway, so that's my little spiel on how to get an impartation today. If you want to pick up what I'm saying, respond somehow. Somehow, whatever way that feels good to you, I've just said to the extreme. Obviously, you probably, I don't care if you do stand up and shout and go amen and jump up on your seat and go, whoa, I don't care if you do that. Okay? So anything else is fine too. Okay. It's called The Best Is On Its Way. Inspirations of Finding Opal. Next slide. Slide one. When we were on sabbatical in April, we went to Cooper Pedy. Next one. Yeah, there it is. That's a picture of a blower, and the blower sucks the dirt out from underground and puts it into a pile on the top of the ground. Slide two. This is what Cooper Pedy looks like. Most of Cooper Pedy is underground. So there's not a lot there. When you go down the street and you say, there's the library, you just see the door. It's really strange. It's funny. Cooper Pedy's been built on the top of many old underground mines. Many houses and hotels are underground. People live underground. Next picture is the churches. This is the underground churches in Cooper Pedy. Different meaning to what some countries have. Everything underground is cool. So you want to live underground because it's cool. This church here on the left is the, can't remember the name of it, but it's like a Catholic church. The acoustics were amazing, absolutely amazing. I took that photo on a wee bit up the top, whatever you call it. And the one on the top is Anglican, and the one on the bottom, this one here, is the Revivalist Church, I think they call it. And It's been built on top of a mine. It has a mine behind it and it is attached to a hotel. Amazing, the comfort in. You need to go to Cooper Pedy just to experience it. You only need 3 days there because there isn't much there. Nobody wanted us to go there when we told them we were going to Cooper Pedy. What are you going there for? There's nothing there. There's nothing there. All the Christians we told we were going there, oh, there's nothing there. Oh, I could tell you what their churches are doing. It is amazing. It is amazing. And they're just little churches. And but this Anglican church on the top, they had visitors coming in and out all the time. And so their congregation is in and out every day. And it's hot. And this lady in the Anglican church who showed us around, she's telling us all the people that she prays for coming in and going. She knows they're coming to look at the underground churches. They outreach very good, well to them. They have a little pamphlet, and in the pamphlet's a story about a person who fell down the mine and how they met Jesus. It was really cool. Amazing. Psalm. Oh, okay. Thought. What is life like when we are underground? Any time that we live without the Lord is like being buried underground. In our hearts, it can be pretty dark, eh? We've got to remember this. Remember this. Can you remember back to when you weren't saved? Some of you can't because you've been raised in the church, but that's okay. I'm coming to that. When I was saved at 11, I went off to Sunday school. As my mum sent me down to Sunday school all the time, and they had this message about the door being opened, and anyone who responds to Jesus at the door and invites him in, he will come in. I was 11, I was walking home from church, it was spring, and I invited Jesus. I thought, oh, just do that. And so I invited Jesus into my heart, and I had to stop. It's like, hold me down. What has happened to the grass? It's green, and I thought, it's green before. Yeah, but it's really green now. I'm having this little conversation, I'm looking around like, whoa, can you hear them birds? They were singing before. Yeah, but they're really singing now. Wow, look at the sun. It's like amazing colours. Everything, the sounds, it was like everything had been coloured with grey, a wash of grey over the colour. And then it lifted, and boof, the whole world came alive. I am still transported telling you the story back to that time. It's amazing. Some people don't have that when they invite Jesus into their heart. They don't have that transformation. But that's what it's like being underground and coming up. It's dark underground. Everything's hidden. You come up and you have light. And it exposes stuff. It's all cool, isn't it? I love it. Psalm 139, 7 to 11. I'm reading from the Passion Translation. I'm getting used to it because we're going to be going to that place, Israel, with Brian Simmons, who has translated the Bible into the Passion Translation. So if you haven't got a Passion Translation, get one that's really awesome, really cool. It's very expository, exposes the word in a way that I've never seen it. Have you got that? Yeah, Psalm 139, 7 to 11. Where could I go from your spirit? Where could I run and hide from your face? If I go up to heaven, you're there. If I go down to the realm of the dead, you're there too. If I fly with wings into the shining dawn, you're waiting. Wherever I go, your hand will guide me. Your strength will empower me. It is impossible to disappear from you or ask the darkness to hide me, for your presence is everywhere, bringing light into my night. I love that. It's just amazing, isn't it? Awesome. Doesn't matter where you are. Now let's just think about where we are. Just stop and think about, where are you now? Where are you now? God is there with you in that place. Sometimes we think we go through hard, well, we can't feel him. God is with you. I don't know where God is. Where are you, God? He's with you. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. We can't go by our feelings. Let's have a look at the opal in the next slide. To get an opal, you might start on top of the ground. Oh, that's the underground. Sorry, I didn't write this slide in. That's the houses underground. So that's a house too. That's what they would have looked like. That's a mine. The mine. They see the guy going up in the long one. That's how they would get in and out of their mine. They would just work themselves from side to side all the way up if they didn't have a ladder. There is the opals. So the one on this one here is what the seam of opal looks like. And it just glows up. And they have to have UV light to shine it up. And this purple one here is, it's a blue light that's being shone on. You see the lighter blues, lighter bits of blue? That is the opals. That is it's quite a big patch of opal there. So one of those churches was doing extensions in there because the hotel belongs to the church, or the church belongs to the hotel, whatever you want to say. And they extended the hotel. As they were doing the extensions and digging out, they found this great big clump of opal worth over $500,000 raw. Incredible. And they'd gone too far, so at one end, because it's hard to know where your boundary is when you're underground, figuring out where the peg is up there. So they'd gone a bit too far, so they thought, well, just So one of the rooms is too small, so they thought, well, we'll just dig back this way. So they dug back that way and found this find of opal. Most of those opals there are they're actually sea creatures, like fossils, fossilized, opalized fossils, which are the most expensive kind of opal, and they're leaving that there for people to see. Isn't that cool? I just thought that was amazing. Opal is, it's salt that's been in the ground for a long period of time that is crystallized and turned into opal. So that's pretty cool. That's really cool. Who's gone underground? Who's been caving before? Been caving before, and have you stood with the light turned out when you're underground? Isn't it creepy? Or what? And Wayne and I have talked, like, you know, it's like when everything is dark and you can't see, it's like you feel this oppressive, heavy, dark presence that is just horrendous. But of course, that is in the centre of the earth is where hell is. Isn't that interesting? Anyway, that's just something to be interesting. So opals are formed under the earth in the depths of the ground where there's pressure and heat. An opal's best spotted with UV light. It glows up. The pocket of this, yeah, I said that all there. Blah, blah, blah. Okay. God is great at bringing the best out in us and shining his little UV light on us. Ching. Yeah, I reckon he does this during worship. Just like, I can't really see. Is there any? Oh, yeah, they're there. They're there. I can see them. Well, I don't know if he does or not, but I thought it was a good picture. The best quality opals are called crystals. They're transparent. Not all opals are transparent, but the best ones are. So when you put them on the skin, they change colour and different highlights. So different skins, different highlights in the opal. Makes it really unique, and the opal becomes unique to the wearer. It's pretty cool. Every opal is unique. It's really hard to match them up for earrings because they have to choose some that are kind of similar, but they're not the same, obviously. So every opal is unique. It's as uniquely formed as you and I. Isn't that awesome? We are so precious to the Lord. He loves us so much. He can see each and every one of us for who we actually are. And there's no point you trying to look at me or Wayne or Livy and Jack and say, I want to be like them. It's okay if it's a motivation to become the best you that you can be. But don't try and compare yourself with me because my gifts look different to your gifts. Your gifts are unique to yourself. Your gifts need to be accentuated in a way that only God can accentuate your gifts. If you try and copy me and try and copy my gifts, well, you won't be unique anymore and you'll be denying your own gifts and your own beauty, if you like. So this is Psalm 130. Let's read the Psalm 139, 11 to 18. It's impossible. We started with some of this. It's impossible to disappear from you or ask the darkness to hide me, for your presence is everywhere, bringing light into my night. There is no such thing as darkness with you. The night to you is as bright as the day. Now let's think about this. The night to him is as bright as the day. Think of when you are underground and it was dark and you couldn't see anything. The night, he's right there in that presence. In that place where it is dark. It's as light as day to him. He gets his wee night vision glasses on. Yeah, I can see everything. Isn't that cool? We go, man, it's dark. I don't like the season. It's a dark season. I don't want to walk through this dark season. God, where are you? I can't see you. He says, I can see you. Don't worry. I can see you. I've got you. It is. Yay, thanks, Ben. Woo! You formed my innermost being, shaped my delicate inside and my intricate outside, and you wove them all together in my mother's womb. There's my mother there. Woo! I thank you, God, for making me so mysteriously complex. Amen. You say that about your wife, eh? Hey, thank you, God, for making her so complex. There is so much to know about her that I still don't know. And we say the same about you men. Hallelujah. Thank you for making him so complex. Thank you, Jesus. Everything you do is marvelously breathtaking. It simply amazes me to think about it. I actually, literally do. I feel like I'm in awe all the time with how he does things. I've been blown away this week. I've had one of the most wow weeks I've ever had in my entire life, starting on Monday with my friend saying that she wants to come to church. And I've been contacted last week by my ex-sister-in-law and said that my niece is coming from Australia to live in Christchurch. And actually a couple of weeks ago she said to me, and she said, actually it's happening. We've got a house. Someone just came up to her at church and says, do you want a house in Christchurch? And she said, oh, okay. So I went, she says, Nikki, can you help me out with some furniture? I says, I'll put it out there in the church, but we're not very good at this. I've done it before and we don't have a lot of secondhand stuff. But I'll put it out there. So I put it out there, and literally the end of the day, Rach and Steve Coe got a hold of me and said, or commented on my post and says, oh, Dad's got a whole heap of stuff. I took a house load of furniture to her for free yesterday instead of coming to the working bee, so that's why I wasn't here. Sorry, I felt really bad about not being here, but I really needed, and I haven't seen my sister-in-law 20 plus years, because she's obviously an ex-sister-in-law. So we've chatted a little bit, but it was amazing. And the house is set up, nearly set up. I went to the food bank, took a whole heap of food, and it's just like amazing. I don't know how it's going to all work out, but I'm just like so blessed by how amazingly complex that he is. And I am amazed how thoroughly he knows me, how he formed our every bone when we were created in the secret place, carefully, skillfully shaping us from nothing. From nothing. You were shaped from nothing to something, to who you are now. That in itself is amazing. And I'm not being funny. God has got a sense of humor, eh? You saw who created me to be before I became me. Let's say it again. You saw who you created me to be before I became me. Before I'd ever seen the light of the day of day, the number of days you planned for me were already recorded in your book. Every single moment you were thinking of me. Not your neighbour and not the person standing up the front in church. Thinking about you, me. How precious and how wonderful to consider that you cherish me constantly in your every thought. Oh God, your desires toward me are more than the grains of sand on every shore. When I awake each morning, you're still with me. Oh, how you are awesome to him. Yes, and I get to be with you. I'm winning already. When you get an opal in its rough form, you don't know what's underneath the stone or the opal, do we? So if we can put that picture up of the, I think I've got rough stones there somewhere. Yeah, in the hands. See the one in the hands? That's what opal looks like. And they don't know when you look at the opal in the rough if it's a good opal or not. And what they have to do is they've got to tumble it to get some of the outer rock that's hanging onto it off. And then it's still only an indication. It's only as they shape it and put it on the grinder and grind away all the old rugged stone that they can tell if this is a good opal or not. Wow. When we apply that same principle to each and every one of us, we don't know what's underneath there until we get rid of the rough stuff. And we've got to get rid of that rough stuff and get this polished up and polished up and polished up before we know what's underneath. When we get new Christians into the church, we don't know what's underneath. But we've got to treat them as though they're precious from the day they walk in the door. You've got no idea if they're going to turn out to be someone who might be a paedophile and preying on our children. Did you know that that's actually what paedophiles do? They actually do come to church, give their hearts to the Lord so that they can have access to children. So let's not be unwise about this, but we're not judging either. We don't know what's under the surface until we start... Let's put you in discipleship school. Let's teach you about God. Let's get some of this rough stuff off. We've got to take, when they're doing the opals, they've got to take very care, be very careful when they're doing the shaping and the forming of the opal, because opal can crack. Opals are very brittle. And when they're cutting them, it just needs to be one touch in the wrong place, and the whole thing can crack. And it might be a beautiful shape, polished, but have gained a crack in it after polishing even. That opal is now valueless. Incredible. Incredible. So I want to say, let's not be an opal. Let's not be like an opal, but be like a diamond. A diamond is the hardest of all. Opals are pretty, but a diamond is the hardest. They use diamonds to cut other diamonds. They use diamonds in industry saws, and they actually create diamonds so they can use them, cheaper ones, for cutting because they're the hardest. So we don't want to be like an opal, because an opal is brittle. Let's have a look at it. Luke 11, 34 to 36. The eyes of your spirit allow revelation light to enter into your being. When your heart is open, the light floods in. We've been singing about this. Let there be light. We've been talking about this. Open your hands. You can't get filled if your hands are open. What can God give you if you're holding on to stuff already? What can he give you if you've got hands full? What does it look like when my hands are full? I've made a decision about something and I remain closed to any other point of view. I might say, well, God, you've said that you've put me here. This is what you're doing, God. And you've prayed a prayer and you've gone, I know what you're doing. You're doing this. If God has said that to you, there's no reason why you can't let it go. Because if he said it to you, he said it to you, and it won't go away. We sometimes need confirmation for what God has said to us. So when your heart is hard and closed, the light cannot penetrate and darkness takes place. When open your heart and consider my words, watch out that you do not mistake your opinions for revelation light. If your spirit burns bright with light, fully illuminated with no trace of darkness, you will be a shining lamp reflecting rays of truth by the way you live. When a light is on, you can't mistake it, can you? It's like you're standing in that cave and it's dark and then someone turns your light on. You can't hide that. It just can't be hidden. You might be in the dark, but someone's got their light on. You can see stuff. It's obvious. When Christ is in your heart, it's obvious. It's obvious to all who is around you. When the light shines into an opal, it reflects the special colors and flashes of color, and this is what gives the gemstone its value and uniqueness. But as I said, we don't want to be like the opal, because the opal is brittle. Over time and under circumstances, the opal can crack. If it's brought from underground and from the cool, into the heat of the day, and we heard stories of this by miners, they brought this clump, this amazing, the biggest clump of opal ever found, out into the heat of the summer, and it cracked. And it was valueless. Went from being priceless to valueless in 1 second. How easy is it to go from valueless from priceless, even in ourselves, to valueless if we take on offenses? if we take on and harbor unforgiveness, if we harbor tiredness, criticalness, resentment, these things can sour us and make us brittle. And it's so easy to break something when it's brittle, isn't it? It's very easy. Don't have to say much. It's like, oh, that person said this to me. We often work so hard at being good. All we really need is the light. It's not about trying to be good. It's not about doing the right things. It's about get the light in you. Get the Holy Spirit in you. You don't have to try to be good. And when we fail or give in to temptations, whatever that is, could be working a lot. It could be perfectionism. Temptation to be successful, temptations of sex or flirting, temptations of pride or gossiping or whatever, whatever that is. But our weakness becomes, our weakness can become a portal of God's power. Wow. How cool is that? Because it says, doesn't it, when I'm, I was going to get that scripture, I haven't, but when I'm weak, he is strong, right? When I'm weak, God, I confess to you right now that I have sinned by doing gossiping, angry, bitter, unforgiving, whatever, whatever, whatever. God's light shines on me right then, and in that moment, that light flashes. And revelation and his light comes and the darkness has to go. Darkness can't survive. It cannot survive. It cannot survive. I might not feel good in that minute. I might still feel really sucky bad. I remember I did a whole lot of years of depression when I was still trying to get over my son's death, and I had a lot of people that I was really bitter at because our church split at the same time and it was their fault. And I says to God, if I see anyone on the street, I'm going to give them a piece of my mind, and I am not going to be Christian. I will tell them what I think. Small town, about the same size as Little Easton. And I didn't see anybody on the street. I was in the doctors. I had two pregnancies in that time. I didn't see anybody until I was ready and in a place where I could let go and forgive. God was so gracious to me. I didn't have to embarrass myself. I was really angry. I grieved by being really angry. That's just, you can't not be angry if the, that's part of the process of the grief. I just had to accept that I was and try and not bleh on people. I don't know how successful it was. Wayne was an amazing husband at that time. I remember getting a Mother's Day card telling me how wonderful it was, I was as a person and a mother, and it's like, that's a lie. And it was. Wayne said, no, you're having this card. I couldn't read it. It was so terribly good. I couldn't read it. He put it up on that wall and he made me read it. It's like, oh, it was up there for years. Like until I went, yeah, okay. I accept it. But in that place in my life, in that time of my life, I had let Jesus in. I couldn't do this without him. And he was my power. His light was my power. I don't know what Wayne saw in me even then, but all my children. But God was my light. He became very powerful inside of me. Horrible dark circumstances. Can't control it. All you got to do is go through it. There's nothing that you can do to make this disappear. You're here, you're in it, so you may as well turn it into a victory. That's what I thought. Well, we may as well turn it into victory. And I may as well, when you're praising God in the midst of your darkest night and your darkest despair, that is when you are the strongest. You are the strongest person in the world. If you can stand up when nothing is going right, when everything feels sucky and you just don't even want to live really, and you can stand up and say, yet will I praise my God. yet will I praise my God. That right there is a weapon for shifting that stuff off your life. That right there is part of the tool and the process. God is zoom, 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 get this hard rock off you. Isn't that exciting? It is. Woohoo. When we come into church on Sunday, don't come in and go, right, we're going to do the thing, you know. What are the musicians bringing? I'm always thinking, what are they bringing today? What are you bringing to the story today? What are you bringing to the atmosphere? And I stand on the keyboard and I shut my eyes. I got the click track. I got people and singing in my ear and I'm going, what am I feeling the people saying to you today, Jesus? I'm listening in the atmosphere to what you're saying to Jesus. If you've been busy and you're busy preoccupied, I hear that. Isn't that funny? I've just had lots of practice. I can hear the busyness in the atmosphere. I can hear that we're not single. We've not got our eyes on Jesus. You can have your children around your feet, running around you. I had 5 of them when I was worshipping in church and I really wanted to be on the keyboard and I wasn't. And I had the kids hanging off me. There's one here, there's one there. So you got quiet toys and food. You got quiet toys and food. One here, one here. Wayne's got the baby. And we're just like gone. Got the babies. Oh, this is what I was going to say. So some of you have been raised in church. And I used to say to Jay, we used to have these soaking meetings at pre-meeting. And the music was just playing. It was just all about you just getting together with God. And we journaled. And Jade would sit with me. I'd say, oh, can you feel Jesus, Jade? No. I'm going, wow, he's really here. I feel him. You must be feeling him. When children are raised in an atmosphere where Jesus is all the time, they get used to Jesus being in the atmosphere. That becomes their normal. When you say, is Jesus there? Well, no, they can't feel anything different because he's always been there. So the advantage that church families have is when they go out from the atmosphere, they feel it keenly. When they go out of the atmosphere of where Jesus is, they know they have stepped out and Jesus is not there. As keenly as when we've, who've never been raised in Christ, come into church and feel, I can feel Jesus keenly. Well, it's on the opposite, that the church children will feel the presence of God. Otherwise, he's just always there. Isn't that interesting? I thought that was an awesome thought. Thank you, Lord, for that. So if you've been a churched person all your life, never say you haven't got that dramatic conversion. Don't use it as, you know, I've got no testimony because I wasn't in the world. You have a testimony because you've always had God. And that is precious. And treat it as such. He's awesome. Isn't he awesome? Let's stand. We're going to have the song. We're going to play the song, Let There Be Light. And we've done a little bit of this now, but in our closing moments while the song plays, we're going to just explore just really, really being responsive and open to Jesus. Let him light shine his UV rays on your heart and shine up the good bits. See, that's the thing. When that UV light goes on, the good bits stand out. Okay, so when you are opening your heart, it can be really, really vulnerable. It can feel really vulnerable. In my experience, when we give our hearts to Jesus, we give a portion of our heart to Jesus. And then over the years, we give more and more. As trust comes in, as we develop a relationship, we give more and more and more. And you go, well, I've been a Christian now for 20, 30 years. And I have been a Christian for 40 years or something now. But there's always parts of your heart we take back. Have you noticed that? Oh, I just want to do this now. I'll do this now. So we're going to just really, we're going to stand in this and listen to the words of the song, Wash Our Spirit.